Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you would, on June 18th.
June 18th. Yeah. Is there a significance to that date that I don't know?
Only that I'm here.
You're
only
here?
That I'm here, and I made it here, and through the heat in Los Angeles.
You know, I wish I had your problems. I really do. Was it that difficult for you to get here today?
Was it too warm? I was out late
the
last
14
night.
Feet? You're like, you live like two blocks from here, don't you? You were out late last night.
Yes,
what did you do last night?
I actually went to the opening of... Phantom of the Opera, the national tour.
Oh, really?
Has landed in town at the Pantages Theater in a beautiful new production of the show.
Oh, cool.
And it was splendid. You know, it was like seeing it again for the first time. And
never seen
done.
It. Never seen it. Yes. Wow. And my friend Aaron has done it for us, but either on Broadway or on tour for over 8 years.
Right.
And I've never seen it because I'm not a good friend. As you probably know that.
Oh, well, I think you support plenty of your friends,
don't
you?
I'm kidding. You know I'm a good person.
Okay. I know you are. Well, I hear talk of that, yeah.
You've been told. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown. Yes. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
The beginnings of Will Geer's Theatricum Botanicum stretch back to the early 50s when Will Geer, one of the many actors victimized by the McCarthy-era blacklisting, opened a theater for blacklisted actors and folk singers on his Topanga property. He also cultivated a large garden, and unable to find work in Hollywood, Will and his wife, actress Herta Ware, earned a living by selling vegetables, fruit, herbs, and theater. What a great sentence that is. With the subsequent popularity of Mr. Geer's portrayal of Grandpa Walton on The Waltons in 1973, he regathered his family, who were now working actors in theaters across the country, and together they formed a nonprofit corporation, the Will Geer Theatricum Botanicum. Audiences flocked to workshop performances of Shakespeare, folk plays, concerts featuring well-known musical artists.
And they continue to do so. Today, the 299-seat outdoor amphitheater is one of the few mid-size union houses in the L.A. area, receiving critical praise and numerous awards, including the prestigious Margaret Harford Award for Sustained Excellence from the Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle and the L.A. Weekly Career Achievement Award for Artistic Director Ellen Geer. The upcoming repertory season at the Theatricum Botanicum is one of the most exciting ever, including the show we're discussing today, Tracy Letts' Pulitzer Prize-winning August Osage County. Joining us shortly on the phone, the director of August, Mary Jo Dupre. And right here in studio with us, portraying Violet and Barbara Weston, respectively, please welcome Ellen Geer and Susan Angelo.
We're here.
Hello, ladies.
Hello. Thank you.
And we will have Mary Jo on shortly.
Yes.
Very excited about today. All Theatricum Thursday.
Yes.
That's what we're calling it today.
Oh, it is?
It's an All Theatricum Thursday.
That's nice. I like that.
But before we get to this, Michael.
As opposed to No Pants Thursday?
As opposed to No Pants Thursday, which is something that we explored, which makes less sense on radio, but we still managed to pull it off.
It's still a good look.
I have to tell you about my week.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yes, I have to tell you about my week. So I went to the dermatologist, okay? And I know you're saying, Paul, why?
Yeah.
Right. But I went to the dermatologist because I had this little mole on my face.
Yeah.
And the lovely woman to my right here, Susan Angelo, I am lucky enough to get to kiss this woman in the play that we're discussing.
And lucky you are, yes.
And I am very lucky. And I was a little self-conscious about this mole that I had on my face. So I went in, I got the mole removed. And the doctor says to me, how long have you had rosacea? Right? And I say, what time is it? Because I really didn't know I had rosacea. He goes, don't worry about it. There's ways to, it's mild. You have a mild case of it. A little redness, you know, that I get. And he goes, don't worry about it because you just got to know the tripwires. That was his actual term, tripwires, rosacea tripwires.
Oh.
And that if you just avoid these things, you won't have rosacea anymore. So, Michael, all I have to do is avoid liver, yogurt, sour cream, all cheeses, chocolate, vanilla, soy sauce, bread, vinegar, eggplant, avocado, spinach, beans, citrus fruits, tomatoes, bananas, red plums, raisins, figs, spicy or thermally hot foods, and I won't have rosacea anymore.
Good Lord.
And wait, it gets better. You ready for this? There's a beverages I have to steer clear of. Alcohol, especially red wine, beer, bourbon, gin, vodka, champagne. It's okay because I can have hot coffee. No, I can't because I can't have hot drinks, hot cider, hot chocolate, coffee, or tea. Best part is the weather. Here's the weather scenarios I need to avoid. Sun, cold, wind, and humidity. Yes. And my personal favorite, to avoid the redness of rosacea in terms of skincare products, I should avoid, and I quote, any substance that causes redness. Yes.
Wow.
So
you're going to be walking around in a big oversized hat.
I'm going to be in an isolation tank eating, apparently, kiwi. That's all that's left.
Well,
I
could
eat kiwi and persimmons.
You had to walk around with a coat and a hat and the whole thing. I'd start the drinking part.
Yeah, I'd start the drinking part.
And the red wine. The hell with the rosacea.
Yes, the hell with the rosacea.
Yeah. Terrible.
Isn't that lovely?
That was your week.
That was my week.
Are you serious?
That was dead serious.
Holy cow.
I had handouts. How could I not be serious?
I know, but you know, I know you'll go to any expense for a laugh. So
that's true.
My week was great. Thank you. It was a very theatrical week. It was Murder for Two at the Geffen Playhouse,
which I saw in New York.
Yes,
which is,
brilliant. And the stars of that show will be with us next week.
Wonderful.
On this program, and also went over to the Falcon Theater to see Scott Kahn's new show.
Oh yeah, Gary Marshall's place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Scott did an amazing job. You know, he's a writer and you're from Hawaii 5-0. The
James Kahn's son, Scott.
Yeah. Lovely man that was with us last week, and boy, it's a two-hander. It's a great romantic comedy, and you know, behind that tough guy exterior that Scott has on television is this very comedic actor.
He was a very funny fellow.
So it was charming. And I love to go to good theater, and those were three winners, including last night at the Pantages.
Busy theatrical week. All right, Michael, would you do me a favor and introduce the woman that we have waiting on the phone?
I certainly will. Will, indeed. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a faculty member at the UCLA School of Theater, Film, and Television, where she directed MGM, My Visit with My Grandmother Marta, In the Company of Jane Doe, Charles Mee's Big Love, Who is Selma Teller, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and an original all-female musical version of Lysistrata, excuse me.
Yeah.
Thank you. You even had the
pronunciation. Sorry, I typed that wrong, Michael. That's my fault.
That's okay. Live on the radio. Which was
we don't mean to lose you in the jargon.
Yeah, let me say that again. Lysistrata, which was recently workshopped at the Musical Theater Factory in New York City. She is a graduate of Vassar College. She earned her MFA in directing from UCLA and is a recipient of the NYU Professional Certification in Filmmaking. Please welcome the director of Argus Osage County, Mary Jo Dupre.
Mary Jo, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you? Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not busy or anything.
No, not at all. I'm just sitting home sipping champagne. And,
don't you know. The show opens this weekend, and I talked to Mary Jo last night, and I said, so I'm looking forward to talking to you on the radio tomorrow. She goes, text me beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
To just make sure.
I had a list. I actually set my two alarms in my phone, so I was good to go.
Nice. Mary Jo, glad you're here.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. I'm curious about something, Mary Jo. Do you remember sort of the moment... because you perform as well as direct, and I'm always curious about if the actor ever fights with the director. When you saw this show for the first time, was directing it the first thing you thought of? And do you remember sort of that causal moment?
No, actually, not with this show. I do have that experience with other shows, but I found this show to be so overwhelmingly excellent. I just got completely lost in it. I find the better and better shows are, the less my actor or director brain is functioning. Right. When I'm overthinking something, that's usually when I'm like, that was okay, but this was so magnificent that I feel like I, as an individual, just sort of dissolved into it and didn't really think about it in that way until I heard somebody was doing it. It was just such an incredible experience to see the original tour.
Yeah, I find that too. The way I sort of describe this to people when I saw it is that it put me in this little bit of a dream state that I did not want to wake up from right away. I wanted to stay there for a little while after seeing it. For any of our listeners that we have that might not be familiar with the tale, can you sort of give a little synopsis of what August Osage is about?
Well, August Osage County is on surface to bed a family that's living in Oklahoma, and the father has disappeared. And don't want to give too much away, but yeah. The family gathers around this disappearance, and it's a family drama in which their issues and lifelong problems with each other come to surface. And that family drama serves really as a metaphor for what Tracy Letts is doing on a bigger level, which is an indictment, I think, really, of contemporary American culture.
Right.
And the American family. And yeah. Mm-hmm. So it works on a couple of different levels, but that's the plot.
Now, in the space at the Botanicum, which is just such a beautiful venue out there, and when I saw the show, you know, one of the almost the characters in the show is this sort of like anthill type house. What were the specific challenges or challenges that you're still experiencing with a venue like the Botanicum, where it's outside, not only outside, but also in rep with five other shows where you're a little limited with what you can do? How was it challenging, or did you find what was that like?
Well, it is challenging because, you know, a lot of people have said the house, that house is a character, and there's a sense of them being contained in the house. But in a situation like that, you know, as you said, it's in rep. You can't really, you know, be building a structure. So we've just been really using the dressing of the space to contain the space as much as possible and keep it kind of tight, because the focus really is on the relationships of the family. And you know, the style of the play is very hyper realism, almost a film level of realism. So it is a challenge to keep that focus as tight as possible, but you know, just try and do it as physically as you can when you're, you know, working across an entire season like that.
Yeah, you know, I find that I get to watch, I'm sorry, Michael, were you about to say something? I find watching it, because I have a lot of downtime in my rehearsals, I get to watch a lot of the show. It's one of the perks. I think that the open space actually works for it in a different way that you wouldn't get in a contained theater, and that is, even though they are in this this contained world, they're also very isolated. You know, think that's one of the benefits of that space, the vastness around it. It sort of shows you how this little unit is so, you know, sort of feeding on itself in this tiny world away from so many people. So I think that, you know, when we talk about that space, it's not a liability necessarily, just because you can't do a real ornate set, you know. Have you ever seen
that's
anything
good
out there?
Mm-hmm. I have. You know, it's interesting you mention it, because I'm sitting here looking at the cover of the published copy, and they have a picture of the house from the exterior, but they have a lot of sky, you know, around that photo, to get that sense of that, you know, that they're out in nature, in the big, vast area. So.
A lot of negative space around it. Michael, have you ever seen anything?
Yes, I have, actually. Not a play like this, or even Shakespeare or anything. What I did see was, this was some years ago, was a friend of mine who was appearing in concert there, Debbie Shapiro. Do you remember that?
Of course.
She's a good friend of mine, Broadway girl, a Tony Award nominee, I think, perhaps a winner. No, I think a nominee, but for her work on Broadway. And it was so great seeing it, being in that beautiful, beautiful surrounding, and on a beautiful night in Los Angeles. That's, you know, there's nothing like that. And so I had a blast out there.
Yeah. I was there for the first time this past weekend. I'm embarrassed to say the first show I've seen out there was this weekend, was To Kill a Mockingbird. And Monica and I both were just like, it's not only the show, it's the evening. It's the whole world of just what a wonderful experience, to sort of a pool to step
right
into.
And
right
probably
there.
A place that a lot of people in Los Angeles haven't been. Even Topanga Canyon, for example, they haven't.
If one more person tells me, oh, yeah, I've driven by that sign, I just want to smack them. But then again, I was that person too. So what am I to say? Mary Jo, thank you so much. We got the two ladies here, so we're going to go to them. But thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule with the show opening the day after tomorrow. And we're just so grateful to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye,
thank you,
bye.
Mary Jo.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you later.
Love her. Love her. She's just wonderful.
She sounds
director.
Pretty calm for
She's drunk.
The amazing thing about Mary is that she understands music. Yeah. And this play, the way it comes in and out, these different scenes, different sizes. I was talking to her the other day. I said, well, I don't know how to do this end. What should I do? And she said, think of somebody. And I said, Chopin, maybe? And just by her knowledge of music, I think she has a perfect understanding for this piece of work.
Yeah, because it is very musical. Yeah. Not only and the other thing, because it's a lot of comedic rhythms are musical.
Yeah.
And it is, people don't realize that it is the darkest of comedies. I mean it is really, really funny. I mean, I think people, you know, when they advertise the film and they always show just those dark moments, it's like there's a whole lot more going on here. Did you see the movie, Michael?
No, I didn't. And yeah. I did not see the stage play.
Oh, okay. So perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
Then you're going to come.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good. Yeah.
I'm going to.
And you have, we should probably mention some of the other people starring in this,
yes.
Along with you,
yes.
Paul.
Because Susan. I am starring in it. Actually, the billing was Paul Strolley in Osage County.
He's the best cop in town.
Yeah.
He's a good agent.
We have, of course, Susan Angelo, who joins us today. Yeah. Alan Blumenfeld, who is just...
I know who he is.
He was on our show, a couple of years ago, promoting a show at the Botanicum.
That's right. Yeah, he was. Abby Creighton, Judy Durkin, of course, the lovely Ellen Gere with us, Willow Gere.
Who is astonishing.
Yeah.
She's really wonderful. Yeah. She's
Jeanette,
and just had a baby, and just she's such a trooper, and she's a real force of nature, Willow.
Fantastic. Jeanette Godoy?
Godoy.
Yeah. Tim Halligan, Aaron Hendry, Mark Lewis, Melora Marshall.
Also just stunning. Yeah, she's great.
She's my sister.
Is she really?
Oh, yes.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's not Melora
Hardin.
It's a family
Hardin. Deal.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I thought maybe a married name. And there it is, Paul Strolley.
Yes.
Strolley.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, maybe if you could pronounce mine right after 5 years on the air. I mean to throw you with the vowels there, Sterling. And Sam Truman, who's wonderful.
Yes,
little Charles.
Indeed.
But I am going to give the woman to your left her due, Michael, by introducing her. Our next guest has worked continuously for 40 years in theater, television, and motion pictures since making her debut in Richard Lester's Petulia in support of Julie Christie and George C. Scott. Probably best remembered for her turn as the committed actress who is lined up as the third and last date for Harold by his mother in the cult classic Harold and Maude, my wife's favorite movie. She has played character and supporting parts in scores of movies and television shows. As artistic director of Will Gear's Theatrical Botanicum, she has acted and directed in over 50 productions, including A Streetcar Named Desire, Medea, and The Mad Woman of Shio. This weekend, she takes the stage in the plum role of Violet, the pill-popping matriarch of the Weston clan in August Osage County. It is indeed a pleasure to welcome to our show Ellen Gear.
Indeed is right.
Thank you. So
here's the thing. When you come up with a season for the theatricum, is that your decision? Is it a committee decision? And do you sort of assemble the season with a theme? Or how does it work? What's that process?
Well, last year we had a Shakespeare season because we had the extraordinary thing of having the Shakespeare Trust in England select us as one out of 14. There were over 250 Shakespeare theaters. To select us as one of the 14, and they are archiving some of our work.
Okay.
So I thought, all right, then the next year let's do some Americana.
Okay.
And so it does have a theme thing. I always ask people what goes on. In fact, the To Kill a Mockingbird has been in my mind for a long time. Richard Tyson, who is the lead in it, playing Atticus, he's always wanted to do this part, and he's from Macon, Alabama.
He was wonderful.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
And because when you think of Mockingbird, you think of, you know, Gregory Peck and that wonderful, tall, svelte, intellectual. But Richard is from Macon, Alabama, and he's a father trying to make it with his kids and to deal with racism, and how do I get my kids to understand it?
Yeah.
So we did that production for School Days, which is a wonderful education program that we have. And we have over 9,000 kids coming every spring. And they got to see this particular play. And it's so important because, you know, you can get a distance as time goes on and not really understand the authenticity, the background of racism.
Right.
And the kids are getting it, and that's exciting.
And, you know, we had this discussion before we came on the air. There's a lot of times that the twain doesn't meet, that political correctness and historical accuracy are not, you know, are strange bedfellows. So, I mean, things can be very jarring, things can be off-putting, but to me, that's the best
that's
kind of theater.
That's theater, and you have to feel it in a visceral way. It's not like when you see a film, you know, there's a gloss in front of you and you're in a safe room with a lot of other people. In a theater, yes, you're with a lot of people, but they're right there in front of you.
Right.
And well, that's why I stick with it.
That's one of the great things about August is that you're there. I mean, you're there in the house with them.
Yeah.
You know, you're just there, and you know, it's just, especially for people that, you know, have seen the film or whatever. What a wonderful thing to just be able to take and go, no, you're in the house now. It's not that separation, not that, you know.
Right.
Well, we also have all our old timers in it. So it's really like a gift. The selection of August Osage County was like a gift for our company that so well deserves to have material like this, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're thrilled. We're having a wonderful time working on it. And I think the fruits of it will be good.
Yeah, it's as a new person there, it's the first show that I've, in addition to the first show seeing there, the first show I've obviously done there. And it's a wonderful feeling coming in when you see a bunch of people and everyone you talk to goes, oh yeah, I've done shows here for 20 years. You know, no one stays at a theater, you know, and
I know,
and
our board is almost the same board we had from the beginning. I mean, it's just, that's the wonderful thing about
what
it.
What a huge compliment that is.
Well, then you can, then the creation is solid. I mean, I now see, I mean, my grandchildren are in the theater now. And that's a thrilling thing. And it makes community, and it makes the kind of work we do worthwhile. The big thing for us is our educational programs. We feel that they are connected, that they are. Susan Angelo here to my left is the educational director. She came to me out of Cal Arts one day, this beautiful young girl, and then suddenly she became so excited about the idea that the two are the same, teaching and actual professional theater. They are the same, and how important it is, especially today, for theater to pass on this knowledge to the young kids that are coming up who are all techo bugs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, their heads down, their bodies are all curved over around the phone. When they talk, they don't know how to use their ears, you know. So
right.
to continue this is very important.
And it's also like a baptism in social interaction, because they're so, and not only that, but also look at the median age of the ticket buyer, just in terms of the art that we do, getting young people involved in theater and
because
having,
it's too darn expensive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that too. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking in terms of the people that's actually something that we don't often talk about, because
right.
here in LA, we don't encounter it as much. We don't have compared to like New York prices, we are lucky in that regard. But still, if you're in college, you're in college. Yeah.
That's right. And you've got a lifetime to pay your debt.
Well, as long as you're making it affordable for those in those categories.
Yes. Can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're student and senior. Yeah.
You know what I wanted to ask you?
Yes.
Because you are a company driven
organization.
So do you cast from within first? Is that what you do?
No, I have open casting
open
every
casting.
Spring, and it usually happens in March, and I have about 5 or 6 or 7 people up there with me,
mm-hmm.
and it's always very obvious who should be playing what. It's not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
You really see it. You know, you can turn it into a competitive thing if you want, and lots of theaters do that, but it isn't competition. If you see the person
right.
out there and it fits the role, everybody knows it. There's no way around it. Right, Susan?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that.
Susan, did you sit down on the auditions too?
I didn't this year. I have in the past, because I've also directed there. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. This particular season, I don't think I did.
You're so busy with the education.
I was busy.
What was especially nice about the audition was actually to be able to audition in the space that you're going to be performing in. Because so much of the time, you're just in this like little rehearsal room or audition
Madeline
space.
Madeline Clark.
Madeline Clark Studios.
Four by four.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Also, to be able to rehearse the play in the space.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
exactly.
Actors want more time, but we get the luxury of getting to rehearse out there, which is nice.
Very nice. And how, we should tell folks how to, well, of course, we'll say it again during the program, but how to buy tickets for August Osage County. And that is very simple. It, first of all, June 20th through the September 27th at 7:30 p.m. And Will Gears Theatricum Botanicum, Botanicum is located at 1419 North Topanga Canyon Boulevard. An easy drive right up off of the 101, Topanga Canyon. And go to their website for tickets. That is Theatricum, theatricum.com. Or call their box office, 310-455-3723. And get your tickets. And as it notes here, bring a sweater or a jacket, even if the day is warm, because it tends to get a little breezy and cool at night, right?
It does get a little cool in the evening, And they have the little cushions that you can rent for a dollar.
Oh, fantastic. Can you bring your own, too?
You can bring
your own, of course.
I brought 16 pillows, actually. It was sort of a Princess and the Pea thing. People behind me were pissed, but aside from that. And we should also mention that, you know, August is in rep with some other great shows.
Yes.
Of course, the Midsummer Night's Dream, which is a stalwart for them that they just do every couple of years. And it's
every year.
Oh, do you do it every year?
Every year, because the audience has gotten, when I pulled it out, the audiences got mad.
Really?
Oh. So, and the kids for the our school days, you know, they devour it.
Oh, okay.
It's the best
I didn't know
introduction
that.
To Shakespeare.
It really is. Fantastic. It's the most accessible, certainly.
Yeah.
As You Like It, my favorite, Touchstone is one of the greatest roles ever written.
Mm-hmm.
To Kill a Mockingbird, as we mentioned, August Osage County, and Green Grow the Lilacs.
Lynn Riggs.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
By Lynn Riggs.
Yes, which is a lot of people don't know what Oklahoma is based on.
Oh,
the,
really?
The
yes.
play that Oklahoma
yes.
is based on, Green Grow the Lilacs.
Family Fun Days, what is that?
That is a wonderful thing that we have every Sunday morning. There's two. You can have little plays by Creative Playground, and you can bring your young kids, and they become part of the play. Or we have the concerts from different singers all over the world who perform kids' music. It's good.
So great.
I was actually supposed to perform in the concerts there, Michael, and I never got a chance to. I had a conflict.
What was that conflict?
I can't sing or dance. Oh, look at the time.
No.
Just kidding. The other thing, too, I want to ask you before we start talking to Susan, the Walton's Weekend, that's the August 7th, 8th, and 9th. What is that?
Well, you know, having a theater and educational plays, you have to raise money. So we thought that this was the year, since it was an Americana year, to raise money with the Waltons. And having been on it myself, and of course Papa was Grandpa Walton, I called some of the family members, and they said they would come and help us raise money. So we extended it. And so we have Friday, we have a big fancy dinner and a wonderful play, a wonderful movie that has been made about Earl Hamner, the writer.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then on Saturday, all the family that can come are going to be there, and we're going to give Earl Hamner our first Will Gear Humanitarian Award, which I'm real excited about, because that man is, he's Americana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, we've arranged to take a bus trip to the old Walton's house.
Is
and
that local?
So there's, it's oh yeah.
I mean the exterior
it's
is
on Warner Lot. Yeah. So it's yeah it's
I
wonderful
did not know that.
And it's beautiful. It's a thing that a lot of people are coming from all over the country. We're very excited to be doing this.
Okay. And the information on this obviously is at theatricum.com.
It's all
can
there.
Learn about that.
Yes. Yes.
7th, 8th, and 9th. Yeah. Okay.
And then you have on July 4th you have Family Barn Dance.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. Family Barn Dance. A wonderful man is coming from up north, Evo Bluestein, and he's been doing it for years for schools and for festivals all over the country, and so we're going to hoe down.
Yeah, you know, games, food, and music.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
It's a great,
it's great for a family.
You're
absolutely.
Just looking. I'm looking at this promotional material, and there's like everything is offered here, and I think people really should
one stop really
potpourri out there. Of goodies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, very excited.
Very, very nice. How fun.
Michael,
and,
would
you know,
you,
we've had some of the Walton family on.
Yes, we were obviously thinking about
could
that.
You
who
have?
Who
Judy
have?
Norton was here.
Oh,
Judy
yeah.
Norton.
Yeah.
I think there was one other, and one of the young lady, one of the younger girls.
Yes, but didn't we have Richard Thomas on the phone? Didn't
no.
we have? I thought we did.
No.
We didn't
no,
have him.
Unfortunately not.
Oh, yeah. I thought we had.
Maybe
so,
you'll get him one
yeah.
day.
Yeah. She's got a little juice. I think she's we should talk to her.
She's got clout. Michael,
oh my gosh.
Why don't you introduce Susan so we can chat with her sitting here so patiently with us?
Absolutely. It's already half hour here on the show.
See how it flies?
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a resident artist at two Los Angeles classical theaters, Pasadena's A Noise Within and Topanga Theatricum Botanicum, where she has played most of Shakespeare's Ingenues and Leading Ladies. In addition to extensive credits at acclaimed theaters, including A Noise Within, Pittsburgh Public Theater, West Coast Jewish Theater, and Indiana Repertory Theater, she has received awards from Backstage, LA Weekly, LA Drama Circle, Dramalogue, as well as Ovation and Robbie Award nominations. As Theatricum's education director, Susan developed Theatricum's Academy of the Classics, a self-supportive year-round education programming for adults, children's, and teens. And you can see her live on stage starting this weekend as Barbara Weston in Tracy Letts' masterpiece, August Osage County. Please welcome the brilliant Susan Angelo.
Good
music. Rocket, hey, baby. Right.
So, Susan, how you holding up?
I'm good. Yeah. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
How much of a meatball role is this for you?
How much of a what role?
Meatball role.
A meatball role.
Never heard that term?
Never heard that.
What's
that mean?
Meatball means just sink. Well, you're a paisan. You should know this. You sink
just
your...
Just made that up. You know.
No. You sink your teeth. It's something you can sink your teeth into.
So, well,
is that a term I just invented?
Yes, you did. Because one would say usually a meaty role.
A meaty role, but a meatball role.
A meatball role.
That could go either way.
It's a small circular roll in sauce. That's what it is.
He says that because I'm Italian.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. This is an amazing play.
Yeah.
It's an amazing play. It is. She said, it's like a piece of music. And Mary Jo, our director, understands that. But, oh boy, where do we begin with this? Yep. So I saw this email blast the other day for this play, and it was very large type about this comedy. And that stopped me in my tracks because I thought, oh my God, are we supposed to be funny? Because, oh no. The play is this... God, it's family. It's a. It speaks about our American culture, about the dissipation of the family in this country. It speaks about hopes and dreams and what our ancestors wanted this country to be, this life, how they wanted it to pass on even more for their children, and how that hasn't happened for everyone equally in our culture. And it's something that we're all faced with every day. So it's about the micro of this particular family, but it's also about the macro of the whole country. Oh. But what's interesting is I feel like the this meatball, meaty subject sits hand in hand right on top of the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's so from our point of view, it ain't funny.
Right.
Even though it's very funny for the audience, I think, but it's these family, these relationships that we all have. You know, you go back to your home. I'm from Ohio. I go back to my home, and it's like whoosh, you just get sucked right into whatever that role was you had when you grew up.
Right.
It's in your body. It's visceral. It just brings you right back to your beginnings, and then you're like, oh wow, I thought I handled that. I thought I grew up on that aspect.
Yeah.
But it's right there. But the brilliance of it is how Tracy Letts puts the comedy and the tragedy right on the same line of text.
Right.
And he's brilliant. It is like a piece of music. So it's fun to work on. It's very meaty. He speaks, Ellen's pointing this to me, he writes really specific punctuation.
Right.
Okay, so I'm a big text geek, so this is probably going to, you know... Wake up out there, the people that want to hear about text.
I have a comma here. I have two ellipses and a comma here.
I'm telling you, I'm an ellipsy fan. Okay, so you do Shakespeare a lot, and you really understand the power of the rhythm of language. And Tracy Letts, in this contemporary play, has done that. And he punctuates, you know, very specifically, because I'm always running over your lines. you know, he'll give you a little short no, and then a period, and then another no with a comma, and another no with
an
ellipsis,
dot, dot.
And then another no. And he wants you to do it just like that. And when you do, again, the tragedy and the comedy sits hand in hand. It's kind of amazing. But he's got this great speech that I have, which I think is probably the heart of the playwright or the voice of the playwright. Certainly the voice of the father figure who disappears. That's all I'll say, as Mary Jo introduced. But he talks about this country that that perhaps the father was going was recognizing that something had disappeared. And ironically, he's disappeared in the play.
Right.
Oh, that's good. He says, as if it was too late, as if whatever had disappeared had already was already gone, as if it was already over, and no one saw it go. This country, this experiment, America, this hubris, puts a colon. What a lament if no one saw it go. Here today, gone tomorrow. And then he says, dissipation is actually much worse than cataclysm. So the play suits this vast dry land, this Oklahoma where he set it, this huge landscape.
Plains.
And we were talking about the house
earlier. That's the character. You're right. That Oklahoma is the character. It's not the house. It's not the structure.
Right.
That's right.
And Mary Jo talked about for those of you that have been to Theatricum, it's this beautiful outdoor space where the minute you walk onto the property, and I experienced this as a young girl right out of college, walked over that bridge to audition for Ellen Gear, who was pregnant with Willow at the time, who's in the play, and I breathed easier. Being from the Midwest, I was like, oh my gosh, I can have this experience out here living in Los Angeles trying to pursue this career, and it just made sense. People love coming there. I think that they feel that ease. They see the trees. They see the flowers. They breathe a little easier. But I don't see our stage as any kind of limitation because we have this huge tiring house that we built. When did we build that? Maybe 10 years ago, maybe? So it is a house structure on the stage, and then it has this wide expanse of land, as you said, that seems to me to contain family spirit just by virtue of being out in this particular plot of land in Topanga Canyon.
Right.
People are drawn to it, so I think that it's a palpable place to stage this play. I don't see it as a conflict in any way.
Are there critters out there that
owls, yeah. crickets,
and a little mouse that runs across the stage sometimes.
Really? Yes. Well, it's a union mouse. But, this is a union mouse.
We're working.
This is for the parents. Yeah.
But anything beyond little critters?
Well, time I remember I heard the barking, and these two beautiful deer just stopped right at the top and then ran down through the steps and out.
Oh, and then remember when we did Merchant of Venice and that one scene, and we had the love doves that flew in just on cue.
Oh, really?
We've had bats in the Scottish play right through that rookie woods.
And in Dracula?
There they are.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's very nice. It takes a lot of negotiation to get them to show up on time.
What do you think draws them to the area? I mean, there's people there.
Magic.
There's disturbance.
Well, they live there.
People don't realize how much bats love Shakespeare.
Did you hear what Ellen
said? No, we have coyotes, mountain lions. It's wonderful up there.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's rustic elegance up there.
Yeah.
Because it's just a wonderful thing to go into, but, it feels like theatrical summer camp in terms of the feeling of it. Mm. And then you walk through the thing, and it's like you called central casting for perfect outdoor theater. It's just, I took a picture of it. I posted it on Facebook because you could do that panorama thing with the iPhone.
Right.
Oh, that was good. I posted that.
And I've my nieces and nephews who are all coming in, like, I will be the water boy if I could spend my summer there.
You know what? We have so many kids that come out for our, we have Shakespeare summer camps, and it's so important that these kids are so, they have so much, technology, they have so much going on in their lives, they're scheduled within an inch of their lives. And they come out there and they can really relax.
And they can exhale. Yeah.
They can exhale. Yeah. That's right.
And they also hear elevated language.
Right.
Which is so important for them than text, art,
You know, and speaking of language, and you were talking about Tracy Lett's punctuation on it. One of the things that I love about this script in terms of language is that it's a lot like Balm and Gilead, Lanford Wilson's great play, and Gilead, in that the overlapping dialogue is written in.
Yes.
And it's written in with, once again, this musical precision that you can be listening to different conversations. Of course, there's a big act two is almost almost entirely a dining room scene.
That's right.
With just the overlapping dialogue and anything. And it's one of those things, it's perfect economy. You know, there's no fat on the bone. Mm, I mean, mm-hmm. this is so lean, the script. And it's amazing you could say a script this rich and full is actually lean at the same time. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. It's what he manages to do. I just,
that was well said.
You think, well, I'm just reading off the cards. Oh. Whatever you hold up, I'm reading, Angelo. We're talking about August Osage County at the Will Geer Theatricum Botanicum. Once again, to see this amazing show, theatricum.com, and you can call the box office 310-455-3723. And, of course, Will Geer's Theatricum Botanicum is at 1419 North Topanga in Topanga Canyon. And once again, make a night of it. This is one of the things we always talk about, right. Michael. Pitch the evening. You know, one of the reasons we always like to push people to NoHo is because there's all those restaurants. And right. this, it's different. Exactly. You go, bring a dinner, bring a bottle of wine, the beautiful outdoor area with tables and chairs, and then go into the theater.
Yeah, something that we don't do all the time.
There's some real classy restaurants up there, too.
Oh, really?
Wonderful. The Inn of the Seventh Ray, and we have a wonderful Mexican restaurant.
Oh, Froggies?
Froggies.
It's been already.
No, I never have,
oh, you
actually.
Haven't?
No. I won't. I mean, I'll go up there to eat, but I'm not going to partake at all because it's too windy a road getting home.
Okay.
So I won't
How
stop.
How far up is it, would you say?
Oh, it's 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, 10 minutes.
10 minutes coming from the coast, 10 minutes coming from 101.
Oh, so you're like... Oh, and it's before the little it's town. Right, if you come from the valley side, it's before you
before
have
the little town.
Right.
Yeah. So you're right between the valley and the sea.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And that's why the weather is so nice. Because
there's no bridges or anything that you have to drive over.
No,
there?
No. It's a good road.
Oh, good.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, there's a bridge.
It's in Topanga Canyon in Los Angeles, Michael.
It's yes. There's well, a troll who yes. asks you a riddle. And then in order to get over the bridge.
It's... Well, no, there is some one of the passings there. Maybe it's another way over to
oh,
the
you're thinking
coast.
The Malibu Canyon.
Oh, Topanga. Oh, okay. that I can't drive that.
No, no, yeah. no. But Topanga's fine.
Yeah, good. Well, that's good to know.
You'll be safe.
I used to take the motorcycle over there all the time.
Oh,
I love
my
the
gosh.
I got rid of the motorcycle yeah. recently, but it was a beautiful ride there, just nice yeah. and windy and smooth.
You know, before we finish with Susan, I wanted to ask you,
yeah.
being from Ohio, what got you interested in... the arts.
Well, speaking
not that they
of
don't
this
have
play,
them in Ohio,
I think
but.
Now, well, you know, I wanted to be an actress when I was very young, but I had never really seen theater. I watched television. I mm-hmm. didn't really know anything about theater, but I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And now working on this play, I'm convinced of why. Because theater offers you a voice. It offers you a way to process, mm-hmm. to sort of put on somebody else's shoes and really discover a little bit about your own journey. And it also helps. It's a great communication skill.
You don't need a psychiatrist.
That's
just
right.
do that play.
You know, I grew up in a town where people didn't really communicate. So theater is all about communication. And I think that's why I have such passion about working with kids now, is that it lets them shine. It lets them speak their own truth.
That's
it lets
so
them
important.
Create their own language by virtue of understanding somebody else's language, learning elevated language. They understand their own writing skills better. They're encouraged to speak their truth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't shut you down. It needs you to step up and
it's
to
a
work with it. It's a religion, and you work with a group. You work with a group of people. So absolutely, hands down, that's why I think I didn't know that at the time.
You know, it's not dissimilar, really, to the art of cabaret, because which is a personal, you know, art, and it's. I've had many wonderful stars of Broadway who have never done a cabaret come through there and do one and be so nervous, you know, backstage, mm-hmm. and just about the fact that it's just going to be them and the audience in an intimate, you know, setting. But once they get past that first half of the first number, they just.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, and there they are, because everything about them, what you just said, you know, getting to know who they are, the process of putting that show together, because most of them are based on their lives and or some part of their life, and to make it interesting for the audience. And the songs are chosen appropriately to kind of tie everything together mm-hmm. and make it entertaining as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
Michael has a supper club, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal across from the El Portal, and he is the best of Broadway and the Great American Songbook, and it's every Sunday Thursday night. But one of the things he does every year, how many years now?
Nine going into ten.
Yeah. It's called LA's Next Great Stage Star, and it's for young people who are, what's the age? Well,
18 to 32.
18 to 32, and they come out and they do, a lot of them for the first time, do cabaret, and it's like a competition.
Well, it's not a cabaret. They're it's all based on an audition process,
right.
But it is a produced, you know, it's a production. Mm-hmm. So every 20 of our competitors actually sing songs fully produced with the lighting and, you know, the bells and whistles. And the 24 judges that go through the competition collectively and who all return in force at the end, but in small panels, four judges a week, maybe five. They give these kids live criticism that is so valuable.
That's
these
great.
Are the people that can hire them, the casting directors mm-hmm. for theater, mm-hmm. the producers of it, et cetera.
And so that's encouraging. Great. And how many on Broadway now?
11.
11.
Yeah. Wow. So far. Why 32? 18 to 32. Why 32? Not
you know,
33.
Because we...
It's a biblical reference.
No particular reason, excepting the fact that we want to expose those who are... The agents get excited about seeing younger... you know, talent sure. that they can have a hand in
right.
developing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always important. And then you always want to have someone that has some experience that they can bring to the table as well. Mm-hmm. And some of them at 32, it might be just their first time on a stage.
Wow,
anymore.
That's
you
great.
Never know when.
What are the age groups for the, before we get to the last thing we're going to talk about, for parents or children who are interested in programs offered by the Botanicum, what are the age groups that are addressed there?
4 through 104.
Really?
Darn right.
We start them at 4 on Shakespeare, and then we have a special camp for 4 to 7-year-olds, and we have a camp going on right now for 8 to 14-year-olds. We have a high school intensive Shakespeare program, which is amazing, which is not started yet, so there's still time for anyone who might have an interest in that for their high school kids, and they work on Shakespeare scenes and monologues. They bond. They're amazing kids that come out there. And then we have an adult Shakespeare seminar, which also starts in a couple weeks.
And all of the info for this is at theatricum.com.
All
okay,
there.
So people can go there. And
yeah. When do you sleep, you ladies? When do you sleep?
It's been busy lately. It's been busy.
I hope you have a lot of help.
We do it. We make it happen.
We do. It's good.
No doubt.
It's that time, Michael.
It is.
It's the time to ask our two guests to share a tale of the final 5 minutes. You see what I was talking about?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Is she going first?
Well, either one of you can go first. Is it first? Share a tale of woe, something that went wrong?
I won't tell you any animal stories.
No. Okay. Don't scare them.
I was worried
away.
About that. Okay, so I can remember Three Sisters Chekhov, and I was doing it with my other two sisters, and we were playing it right out there on the stage. We had beautiful costumes that we'd gone and rented from Universal, so we looked really good. And so we were there at the end and making our bow and all the way to the ground. I stood up and my skirt was on the floor.
Whoa!
That's my tale.
Worth the price of admission.
I was going to say, we should have charged a little more for that.
Your turn.
Okay, so I was
She was backstage pulling the stitching out of a skirt that another actress was going to wear onto the stage. That's your tale. You were backstage.
Okay, no, I was thinking of two, and now I just forgot the first one. We have a friend in common. We mentioned before Ted.
Ted Coach,
we were
yes.
doing God of Carnage at Pittsburgh Public a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And if you know the play, I played Annette, and she's the one who projectile vomits. Now, the entire play needs to have that happen. And it's a very elaborate system that they had created inside a pillow, and the timing was so precise where I had to, you know, I'd start getting sick, and, you know, you can't see that it's coming. But so I grab the pillow, but there's this little hidden switch on it that I have to hit at the right time so that the projectile vomiting happens. And I was always paranoid. I was always so afraid. I mean, I'd be a nervous wreck before that, because what if it doesn't go? What if it doesn't go?
As opposed to just the level-headed, calm person that you are.
There you go. So I was like, button. I got the button. The play about the button. So and it always worked, except for the time that it didn't. And I kept pushing the button and pushing the button. And I have to projectile vomit. So I just started
I mean, I acted my you just hands off, and Ted looked at me. The other two people just looked at me like, "You've got to be kidding! How are we going to go on?" And they all just pretended as though it had happened, and we got through it.
Oh, and this is at one point.
But
the show.
I was called in for rehearsal the next day to double check it again.
The button. You needed the vomit wrangler.
Exactly.
Yes. Bring the vomit wrangler.
What was the problem? Why didn't it work?
Me.
Oh, just you. I thought it was something.
Well, I certainly thought it was something wrong with the button, and it seemed like it was fine. No. Yeah.
Oh, I just love stuff like that. Yeah. And the audience loves it too. But no, that was one of those ones that just sort of.
No, the audience didn't know.
Okay.
They didn't know because everybody pretended that we really did.
Someone told me a story once, very briefly, about someone that had to commit suicide on stage. And the way they had it done was they had a cannon behind the chair that would put blood on the wall behind the person. Who all they had to do was sit there and put a gun in their mouth, and then the sound of the cannon was what provided the gunshot and all this. And it was fine, except for the night that the person who triggered it backstage triggered it like three pages early. So there's no one even sitting in the chair, and all of a sudden there's like blood on the wall. It's like, what's going on over there? Can you imagine? This has been wonderful. It's been one of the fastest 50 minutes in memory. This was a real pleasure to have these two lovely ladies on the show.
You classed up the place.
Well, lovely to be with you, gentlemen.
Classed up the jurt. And also, many, many thanks to Mary Jo Dupree, who spent the first part of the hour with us, the great director of August Osage County at the Will Geer Theatricum Botanicum. Theatricum.com is where you can get tickets, or 310-455-3723. And in terms of the other events, Michael, would you share the other events that are going on there, not only the repertory shows, but the fundraisers as well?
Yeah, absolutely. A Midsummer Night's Dream, As You Like It, that's in repertory, with To Kill a Mockingbird, August Osage County, which is opening up this weekend, Green Grow the Lilacs, Family Fun Day is coming up, and a Walton's Weekend, and that July 4th Family Barn Dance.
So many offerings.
Yeah,
so many offerings.
Just a great, great time out there in the middle of a beautiful part of Los Angeles.
Ellen, did you have something that you wanted to say? I wasn't sure if you were...
Just that this has been wonderful, and thank you so much for telling so many people about our beautiful place, and please come.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you
Mary Jo.
Thank you,
Michael.
Thank you, Paul. Always a pleasure.
And we'll see you next week
on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig, right here on LA Talk Radio.